Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Football Postcast. My name's Ian Wilkerson and I'm joined today by my erstwhile colleagues, Dan Charles and Mark Langdon, to take you through the first instalment of the festive action with the Boxing Day matches. This is the first of two podcasts this week. So we might as well crack straight on then, gentlemen. Let's have a look at the first of all these games on Boxing Day, which is Spurs against Brighton. Tottenham licking their wounds after their defeat to Chelsea on Sunday, Mark. Trent, they can bounce back against Brighton. That was probably the worst performance of the Pochettino era when they went down there.
It was, yeah. They were beaten 3-0, weren't they? Hugo Lloris got injured in the first minute. It followed on from the 7-2 humiliation at the hands of Bayern Munich. Probably played a part in what was a really bad result, and I would have thought probably sealed Pochettino's fate. It was then a matter of getting Jose Mourinho in. But the same problems remain really for Spurs in that until they get the midfield sorted out, it's going to be very difficult for them to compete at the highest level. We've seen them lose to Chelsea and Manchester United under Mourinho, and deservedly so. What I would say is I don't think Brighton are at the highest level. They are a team that can cause opposition problems because of the way they pass, but they have only won one of their last seven matches, and I think they get a lot of respect in the betting markets, but I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to go for Tottenham to win and over 2.5 goals because I think that plays to Spurs' strengths. Even when Heung-min Son suspended, they've still got Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Lucas Moura, probably Christian Eriksen to come in, so there's still a lot of firepower, but clean sheets were a big problem. They've only kept two in the Premier League so far, so I think it'll be a high-scoring start.
Before I take your take on this, Dan, we should highlight that our sponsors, Paddy Power, go 1-2, a Spurs win. It's 10-3 to draw and 9-2 to Seagulls leaving N17 with 3 points. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm going to go on a similar sort of tack there. I'm going to go for Spurs to win and both teams to score. I think fancy Spurs to win, but I see quite a few goals. I think after that performance against Chelsea, I just think the midfield balance was all wrong with Eric Dier and Moussa Sissoko in there. There was nobody that could kind of take the ball in a half turn and build the attacks up. He brought Eriksen on to rectify that at half time. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes with a more attacking lineup from the start here against Brighton. That will contribute to a more open game. And I just think that Brighton as well, they can score goals. They've scored in their last five away games. I mean, those include matches at Manchester United where they lost 3-1, Liverpool where they lost 2-1, and Arsenal where they won 2-1. So they could score away to big teams. I think they could. I can see them scoring here, but I think Spurs, even without Heung-min Son, are going to have a little bit more firepower, and I think they'll win the game.
I mean, we'll be reaching the halfway stage. We'll be 19 games through when these go through on December the 26th. And Brighton, 20 points from 18 games. They're going to be happy with that.
I think they will be. I mean, they've given Potter a new contract. I think it was more about the style of play as much as anything else. And that's definitely improved, since Potter came in to replace Chris Hughton. I think they definitely would have gone down under Chris Hughton. That sort of style, his approach had just been worked out by opposition teams. And I don't think they would have been able to have got the points that they've got. You know, they've won at Arsenal, have beaten Tottenham. They carry a decent threat now. But I still think because of that, because their shot stats are much better, possession-wise, they're in the top six of the Premier League this season, that seems to mean that they're pretty highly rated by the bookmakers. And I understand why, but they just don't win enough games now for me to want to be backing them, to do so. They were beaten by Sheffield United at the weekend, and Sheffield United had a couple of goals ruled out by VAR, didn't they? So I think they'll be reasonably happy with 20 points. You have got to be slightly careful though, because I can see Watford definitely starting to pick up. So even if you've got Norwich and maybe Aston Villa as two of your three to go down, I don't think we know the exact three teams yet. That's for sure.
Would you agree with that sort of summation of Seagulls' first half of their season?
I do. One thing I would say about Hughton, though, is I'm not sure he had control over who bought the players, and they Brighton have bought better this summer than they did previous summers. I mean, you look at the big money they've spent on guys like Andone in the past. Jahan Baksh hasn't really done it. And then this summer, they've gone and got Mopay and Trossard, who have done a lot better. I'm not sure how much Potter had to do with bringing those players in, but they've definitely bought better, and that's given him a stronger hand to play with.
Well, Mopay, he had a very good season in the Championship last year, didn't he? So, I mean, he deserved a crack at stepping up, didn't he?
Absolutely.
So you're both going for, you know... Is this the Spurs' performance against Chelsea? Is it a bit? I mean, it's not looking good for Eric Dier, is it? Last two home games, he's been substituted after 20 odd minutes and 45 minutes. Mourinho was obviously there was a lot of talk of him being a fan and going to United. He must have been pretty disappointed with the impact he's had.
I mean, I don't think it's Eric Dier's fault though that Tottenham's midfield isn't functioning. I mean, he's there to do a specific job, so. If he's the destroyer, it needs somebody else to be the passer. But Moussa Sissoko isn't the passer, but he has got legs and you know, can get around the pitch. So I think it's the combination that doesn't work particularly well. And even when Harry Winks plays in there with Sissoko, it tends to be done too deep, really. So I think Ndombele, you know, is the Tottenham's record signing. So he needs to come into the team. He hasn't been
well,
fit.
Well, he's not been fit, has he? So maybe they'll get a better chance of him. So, yeah, that'll be... So both boys going for Spurs to win and both teams to score in that one. It should be an entertaining start to the Boxing Day action. So after a quick break, we'll look at the 3 o'clocks.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Ian Wilkerson. I'm joined here by my Racing Post Sports Desk colleagues Mark Langdon and Dan Charles. We're just going through the Boxing Day matches to see if we can come out with some decent bets for you to boost your festive joy. And there's a whole host of 3 o'clock games with Amazon Prime coming in again and televising all these on their streaming service. So there's plenty of games to watch and have a look at. We'll just go through the 3 o'clock ones then. Mark, starting with Aston Villa and Norwich. Relegation six-pointer.
Yeah, absolutely. Big blow for Villa with John McGinn being ruled out for injury, becoming an increasingly important player for them. It's Norwich threw away a massive opportunity to beat Wolves. They were the better team in the first half, couldn't get the second goal and then, managed to throw it away. I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals and both teams to score in this game. Villa have scored in 17 of their last 18 home games, which is some going considering Wesley's up front for them and he's not very good. But I'm looking at the two teams defensively and they've conceded 70 Premier League goals between them already. So I think attacks will be on top. I'd probably edge towards Norwich probably more than Aston Villa, but I just feel safer backing goals.
Okay, Dan, before we go, the prices from Paddy Power here are... Aston Villa are very slim, even money, I'm thinking here, and with the draw 11-4 and Norwich 11-5. Villa lost 7 of their last 9 matches. They're in the mire, aren't they?
They are. I mean, I really like Norwich here. I fancy them at 11-5. That's my selection. I just think, you think back to when these teams played before and Norwich were in the injury crisis, weren't they? And Villa took advantage of that one 5-1, I think it was, at Carrow Road. And now it's a little bit the other way around. Norwich have got a lot of their players back. And although the results have been still quite negative, their performances are improving. Villa are losing some big players. I mean, you look at McGinn's a blow. Mings, who they've been missing the last couple of games as well. That's a massive hole in the spine of their team. And it's who you're bringing in to replace those players. I think especially in midfield, Marvellous and Akamba has not looked particularly marvellous. And you look at Louise as well. I've not been overly impressed with Douglas Louise in midfield. I just think that there's such a drop-off when you lose McGinn. You can see that in the Southampton game when he's gone off early. They really were picked apart in that game. Confidence is starting to drop as well for Villa. And Norwich, I think, playing away might help them in some ways. I mean, you think the last two home games, they've dominated first half, both games, didn't they? Against Sheffield United, were one up at half-time, and against Wolves, didn't kill the game off and ended up kind of losing both games. But away from home recently, they got that draw, didn't they, at Leicester, 1-1, played really well there. Pressure's off maybe a little bit more away from home. Mm. Not so long ago, they won 2-0 at Everton as well, and have a good away performance. So I just think they're overpriced here, and I like Norwich.
So Norwich on the way up then for you. Yeah. OK, so We'll go on the next on the list, Bournemouth against Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. How'd you say this one then, Dan? I'll stop with you this time.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, before we go. Prices. Bournemouth 12-5, draw 11-4, and Arsenal 10-11 with Paddy Power.
Not a confident pick, but I'm going to go with Arsenal. I just think Bournemouth at the moment, with the injuries that they got, it's just ripping. You've almost got like a best part of a first 11 missing and some really important players for them as well. There's a lack of goal threat for Bournemouth. I mean, they nicked the 1-0 win at Chelsea, but that's the only goal they've scored in their last four matches. Arsenal, I mean, whatever you say about them, they have got a goal threat. Aubameyang is one of the top strikers in the Premier League. Maybe they'll get a bit of a new manager boost as well. I would expect maybe a few more of the experienced players to come back in. I know Ljungberg, he kind of punished a few of the experienced players, then he picking that young team at Everton. Arteta's got to get a few of them on side, really, isn't he? So I think he'll pick a bit of a more of an experienced team, and I fancy him to win.
Yeah, would you agree with that, Mark?
I don't think I'd be backing them at odds on away from home. They always make me nervous, really. They got that win at Newcastle on the opening day. That wasn't a great performance. I remember them beating West Ham, where they only really turned up for 5 minutes and won the game, or the 10 minutes. But that's what they have got in their locker, and Bournemouth haven't got that. Callum Wilson hasn't scored in his last 10 matches. He is coming back, though, to fitness. I'm going to go for the draw, just because Arsenal have only won one of their last 13 matches in all competitions. So I'm a little bit nervous just about backing them away from home. I mean, Everton, there was barely a shot on target in that game. It was a pretty drab affair. They have drawn 7 of their last 11 away games as well, Arsenal. And for all that Dan Sani thinks the kind of more experienced players will come back in, I do wonder myself, because I'm sure Arteta must have spoken to Ljungberg about what the team was going to be. And I see Arteta's coming into Arsenal has been very much a long-term plan. If we think that Everton and Carlo Ancelotti is a short-term, let's do it now, Jose Mourinho at Tottenham, this feels like somewhere where they have to give him time. So I wouldn't be amazed if he kind of laid out his stall really early on. But this is probably not a game I would advise people to be betting too much on, that's for sure.
OK, then I'll ask you both quickly. Dan Arteta, is he the man to turn things around at Arsenal?
I'm going to be really boring here, and I'm going to say I don't really know. I mean, at the end of the day, it's his first managerial job. How much can you say that of Manchester City's success that they've had in the last couple of years is down to him? I mean, how much influence has he had? I really don't know.
That's a big shot in the dark then for you.
Yeah, absolutely. What I would say, if I was Arsenal, I think it would be a much more safer route. They're still a massive club, and I would have thought they could have attracted someone with more experience and played it a bit safer. But there you go.
What do you think, Lenny?
Well, I agree with Dan. I sort of distrust anyone that's got a strong opinion on whether he'll be a success or not. I think the best time to have given him the job was when Wenger left, and they seem to sort of back away from that. I tend to think that it might not be the worst decision, because if there was no doubt there that they absolutely sort of wanted that they could get, let's say, Max Allegri was one that they wanted, just plucking the name out. He said he won't return to work until the start of next season. So they were maybe in a little bit of a hole. The concern is for Arteta is that he has a bad second half of the season. And then if he doesn't start next season well, he'll probably be out of a job, So it's not a great time to take over, but I can understand why they at least did it. But, I mean, it basically, if anyone's got a strong opinion on Arteta, just don't listen to them. Because they're just guessing.
The other question is, how much of their failure recently has been down to head coach, if you like, and how much down to recruitment? You look at a lot of money that's been spent out on some of the players that really aren't doing it there, and Ozil being put on £350,000 a week. What has he done since? The £30 million plus spent on Mustafi. I mean, and you could go on. There's the recruitment there. Whoever's the head coach, they've got to get the recruitment right to make any progress.
I mean, I suppose we could talk about Arsenal till the cows come home, but we've got a load more games to get through. So we'll pop down the list now. The next one, Chelsea against Southampton. Chelsea 3-10 with Paddy Power. The draw is 4-1. And the Saints 15-2. Lango, what do you think?
I'm going to go for Chelsea to win and both teams to score. Chelsea really funny in the way that they revelled in playing Spurs, and they were excellent at White Hart Lane on Sunday. fully deserved their 2-0 victory even before Spurs were reduced to 10 men. They played a lot better, I felt, than what they had in some of their home games when West Ham and Bournemouth both managed to kind of stifle them and do a job on them. So it'd be interesting to see whether they're able to kind of carry that through at home. But I think Southampton probably haven't got the defensive resilience to hold out. But they have got in Danny Ings, somebody that scored in 10 of his last 13 matches. And Southampton are a very strange team. They seem to play a lot better when the pressure's off them in terms of even like a big away game. That, you know, Man City away, for instance, you know, they nearly won there and they eventually lost. So I wouldn't be backing Chelsea at 3-10, that's for sure. But, you know, if you do fancy the favourites, maybe the win and both teams to score is the way to go.
Chelsea, what's your reckon?
Same approach, Chelsea to win and both teams to score. I just think Chelsea's defence wasn't really tested by Spurs, was it? You know, we talked earlier about that formation Spurs went in with. I mean, they only really had an attacking team on the pitch with any intent for 15 minutes of the game, really, in the second half. So, generally, their defence has been poor this season, conceded 25 goals. That's the worst of the top six teams. And Southampton, I think with Danny Ings, you know, he's been one of the Premier League's best strikers this season. You can see Southampton scoring. But I agree with Mark. I don't fancy Southampton defensively to hold out against the Chelsea team boosted by that big result. So Chelsea to win both teams to score.
Well, Amazon Prime are going to be pleased. There's all these goals going in on Boxing Day. It's going to be an absolute bumper. Like the old days in the 60s when it used to be full of goals. So we've got London Derby next. Crystal Palace against West Ham. Dan, we've got Palace 6-5, a draw 12-5, and West Ham 21-10. The Hammers having the week off after Liverpool's exploits in Qatar last week. West Ham are turning into one of those teams that you want to lay at home and back away, I think. Like, yeah, their traditional betting position.
They've had quite a few weeks off, haven't they, West Ham?
Yeah.
In the last few weeks.
How did you see this one going, mate?
They really just turned up for two games, I can remember, in recent memory. The game at Southampton had played well, and the game at Chelsea. Every other game for the last sort of 2 months or so, they've been pretty poor. But no, you talked about the goals and Amazon. I think this is where the goals stop, really. Crystal Palace. Their matches have featured the least goals of any team in the league. At Selhurst Park, only 15 goals in 9 games there. Under 2.5 goals, which is my tip for this game, has copped in 7 of Crystal Palace's last 8 games. I think what's happened there, there's a lot of injuries going on. Roy Hodgson, a lot of the injuries have been to defensive players as well with Palace, but he's a great organiser of teams and he's focusing on just protecting that back four by playing quite a cautious style. Their only real threat attacking-wise is Wilfried Zaha. West Ham will focus, I'm sure, on trying to negate that. Offensively, West Ham, they look quite good actually against Southampton, but you never really know what you're going to get from them. I think Palace might stifle them. And a low scoring game for me.
No, I think West Ham, decent price here. And Crystal Palace, a team I've wanted to be against most weeks, and they managed to sort of sneak victories here and there. But they're averaging the fewest shots in the Premier League this season, under 10 per game, you know, which is really poor. And I think West Ham, with that change, I mean, Dan mentioned the fact that they played well at Southampton. I think it was a change in formation, really, with Antonio alongside Haller that actually was the real sort of, it was just what Haller needed, because he's been so isolated up front. To have Antonio running around like
I'm
he does.
I'm a big fan of Antonio.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not the most graceful of players, but puts himself about, he's got sort of good physicality. And Haller is somebody that just he needed somebody there. And I think West Ham have got a good chance of getting 3 points here, because their weak spot is defensively, but I'm not sure that Palace have got, outside of Zaha, you know, the weapons to really hurt them. Fabianski could return, which would be an absolutely massive plus. I mean, for all that West Ham have been terrible in recent weeks, I mean, how many times did Roberto cost them? And, you know, Dave Martin came in and they managed to get a couple of wins there. So I think this is a good opportunity to back West Ham with Crystal Palace, short on goals and short on players.
They need him to return as well, because Martin is injured, isn't he?
So yeah, they wouldn't want Roberto back, would they? Bless him. So we've got 2 more 3 o'clocks to go. Everton, who were involved in possibly the worst game in the last 10 years against Arsenal on Saturday, they're at home to Burnley. We've got Paddy Power go 8-13, the Toffees, 11-4, the draw, and 4-1, a victory for the Clarets in Carlo Ancelotti's first game at Everton. Langer.
I think Everton will win. I thought 8-13 was I mean, I wouldn't want to be going too much shorter, but I think it's fair enough, really. I mean, you have a look at their last four matches. Duncan Ferguson got a tune out of them, you know. They beat Chelsea, they drew with Man United, Leicester and Arsenal. They're all, you know, pretty good results. And I do think that there could well be a sort of new manager bump in this one. And only three teams in the Premier League have allowed fewer shots than Everton. So they have been a little bit unlucky. Marco Silva will point to just these sort of small margins going against them. So they're definitely not where they should be in the league table. And as far as Burnley go, I mean, they only had two shots in the entire 90 minutes at Dean Court on Saturday. Clearly did a job on Bournemouth, nicked a last-minute winner. But I think they've got serious limitations in sort of the final third and the way they approach matches. I'm sure they'll make it difficult for Everton, but one should be enough.
Do you think Burnley are punching above their weight, Charles?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've seen them quite a few times this season. I'm amazed they've got the points they have. I think they rely a lot on their home form. I know they've nicked a couple of away wins. One of them I saw when they were at Watford and they won 3-0 and I wondered how it happened. And you know, they've won again at Bournemouth with two shots. And the amount of injuries that Bournemouth had, and they've still really gone there, really, just to draw the game, really, and they've ended up winning it. And that tells you everything, really. I think away from home, they're not going to get many more away wins this season. Everton been great since Ferguson took over. I don't see that changing now with Ancelotti's first game. The crowd will be absolutely buzzing, a little bit like it was for the game against Chelsea when they got about the pitch and you know, fantastic performance there. I think they'll win this game, and I think 8-13 is perfectly reasonable.
Two ticks for the Toffees. And then finally, a very intriguing match, I think, at Bramall Lane between Sheffield United, who are obviously flying now, fifth in the table, and Watford, who are rejuvenated by their win over Manchester United on Sunday. Dan, I'll let you have first stab at this. It's 4-5 Chef U, 13-5 the draw, and 10-3 the Hornets.
Yeah, I think Watford will get another result here. I think, you know, they'll get at least the draw. I think they've been playing better for a while. It's not just Pearson coming in. When Mullins took over as interim manager, played well at Leicester in a 2-0 defeat. It was a harsh scoreline, really, that one. Played well at home to Palace, battered Palace, really, in the 0-0 at Vicarage Road. And Pearson comes in, the 2-0 at Liverpool, missed some great chances in that game. They just needed a goal to lift the confidence. As soon as they scored, I mean, it's an absolute howler, wasn't it, from De Gea? Yeah. But as soon as that went in, that everything lifted. The crowd lifted. Players started to play with more confidence. And really, on the counter-attack, they could have even, you know, picked up, you know, some more goals. Excellent performance. I know Man United were poor, but Watford have been getting better for a while. Sheffield United, you've got to have huge respect for the job that he has done now. I mean, fantastic job. I mean, they're only 4 points, I think, off the Champions League places at the moment, which is just... He's, for me, you know, in the running to be manager of the season, the way things are going. Three wins in a row, but I still look at them and I don't see them finishing as high as they are on the table. When they played Watford at Vicarage Road, Watford weren't playing anywhere as well as they are now, and they still should have won that game. They were a better team than a 0-0. So Watford to get a result here.
So you're looking at a sort of like
Watford double chance. Yeah, Leigh Sheffield United.
Double chance. Lange, what do you think?
Under 2.5 goals. I know that Watford did play better against Manchester United and got their goals, but they've still come from a penalty and, you know, an absolute howler from David De Gea. So that does make me nervous as to sort of, you know, who's going to take that goal-scoring responsibility. I like the fact they've got Deulofeu and Sarr out wide. If you do fancy a first goal scorer, though, I mean, Doucouré's been playing a little bit more advanced. He might...
He's suspended.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay, well, he definitely United, won't yeah. be scoring first in that one. Then
he'll be enjoying a big Christmas dinner.
You know, maybe for the next game, because I just noted that he's somebody that, you know, is playing in more advanced position. So definitely over the festive period, there might be an opportunity to back him.
If he's not yet too much turkey.
Yeah, but if we're looking at Sheffield United... kept 7 Premier League clean sheets. I've had Dean Henderson down as the goalkeeper of the season in the first half of the campaign. 11 of their last 14 matches have been under 2.5 goals. The reverse fixture was 0-0. I suppose if you're looking to back Sheffield United, what will be in the back of your mind will be what happened against Newcastle not that long ago, where you know, they had a lot of the ball, but Newcastle scored a couple of goals. And I think Watford may actually, you know, cause similar problems on the counter-attack with their quality and pace out wide. So I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I don't see Chris Wilder's team getting sucked into believing that Watford are as bad as what the league table suggests. And I think they'll give them plenty of respect. And it may be a sort of cat and mouse affair.
Yeah, there seems no chance of Chris Wilder letting his team rest on their laurels of their achievements in the first half of the season. So that's all the 3 o'clocks. And after a quick break, we'll be taking a look at the three other games on.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Ian Wilkerson. I'm joined by my colleagues Dan Charles and Mark Langdon. We're having a look at the last three games on the first half of the footballing week. It's so busy with the festive fixtures. There's two late games on Boxing Day, both of which look particularly intriguing matches. So we'll start with the first one, which is Manchester United against Newcastle. Paddy Power prices as 1-3 Manchester United, 7-2 the draw, and 8-1 Newcastle. Dan, I'll start with you. Any value in the 8-1?
No, not really. I know that. I mean, Manchester United have had these problems, haven't they, against teams lower down the table. And funny enough, Newcastle aren't really much lower down the table. They're on the same points as Manchester United. But no, I think it feeds into the fact that they've struggled for creativity. I think a big difference will be Pogba. I think Pogba may start this game. He came on against Watford, looked pretty lively, actually. One of the positive things to take out of that game for them. I mean, there weren't many positives, but Pogba coming on and looking, you know, quite decent was a big plus for them. And I think he could make a difference in games like this. Newcastle, I think they're going to rely on the counter-attack, and I think their counter-attacking threat with Saint-Maximin injured at the moment is drastically reduced. You look at their recent away wins they got at West Ham, the 3-2, and Sheffield United, the 2-0. He was quite instrumental, I think, in those victories. So I think that takes their threat away a great deal. I don't see United winning by many goals, though. I mean, they just don't score many goals. Today, 13 of their 18 matches this season have been under 3.5 goals. So that's the angle I'm going to go with here. Manchester United to win the game and under 3.5 goals.
OK, Manchester United and under 3.5 goals. Lango, would you concur with that opinion?
I think, a different approach, but sort of for similar reasons. It's on the double result market. Draw half-time Manchester United. Full-time, 9 of United's last 10 goals at Old Trafford have come in the second half, and I think it's pretty clear. Even Colchester went there and frustrated them for 45 minutes. I think that it's not that difficult really to sit in and then just say, well, where's your creativity? Because it's all about the pace of that front three, and if you sit deep, it makes it more difficult. But totally agree that Pogba coming back just adds a new dimension to the midfield. If he's interested, he's not always bothered, is he? But if he is interested, and he looked interested enough at Watford, I think that does, you know, him for Lingard, I think gives Manchester United a much better sort of look about them. Or even, you know, if he comes in for a Fred or McTominay. Newcastle, 6 of their 7 defeats this season have come away from home. They are doing very well on not that much, you know, they're not creating loads of chances. They're bottom of the expected goals Premier League table, but they're just finding ways to win, but most of that is at home. So I expect United to win, but it's unlikely to be a classic.
So it should be that defeat at Vicarage Road should be a blip then for United, according to the boys. Now, the 8 o'clock kickoff is probably the best fixture of the festive period, full stop, really. Leicester against Liverpool at the King Power. Leicester 13-5, draw the same price, 13-5. Liverpool, fresh from their World Club Championship triumph in Qatar, 10-11. Dan, it should be a cracking game, this one.
Yeah, it is. I just think that there is quite a gap. I mean, points wise now, because of the results Leicester have had recently, I just think there is a big gap between these two teams. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win this. I mean, you just look at the statistics, and it's just unbelievable. 25 of the last 26 games they've won, 34 Premier League games unbeaten, going back to January the 3rd this year when they lost at Manchester City. It's just, you know, those statistics are just incredible. Leicester, the other side of it, have had a bit of a dip, haven't they? The other, even you know, anyone can lose at Manchester City, we all know that, but the manner of it wasn't great. I mean, they took the lead and then really City just took over the game, I felt. The match before that, the 1-1 draw at Norwich wasn't a great performance. For a while at home, they've been kind of nicking games. They nicked the Everton game 2-1. The Watford game I mentioned earlier, they weren't great at home. So I just think Liverpool here, Leicester being the home side, probably will, you know, have a go and come at Liverpool. That may even suit Liverpool with the pace they've got on the counter. So Liverpool for me.
Liverpool. Would you agree with that, Mark?
I think Liverpool are the more likely winners. I'm buzzing to get involved at odds on against the Leicester team that are unbeaten at home this season, are in the semi-final of the EFL Cup, and I fully expected them really to lose at Manchester City. I think the problem against Norwich was he changed the formation to a diamond. He then made two changes before the start of the second half, and I thought they were better for that. And it's just with Liverpool, having played two games in Qatar, and actually they were probably more difficult games than they would have imagined. They nicked one in the last minute and then another one in extra time. They seem to celebrate quite intensely as well. So just they might just be a little bit more vulnerable than usual. And also, they've got some problems at the back. Matip and Lovren have been out. I don't think Gomez has come in and played to the level that he's capable of. Fabinho's out as well in an important position in midfield. The front three are just magnificent. And if Salah doesn't get you, Mane will. And if he doesn't, Firmino will. So that's the problem, and that's the reason why I suppose people will back Liverpool. But I'm edging towards the draw. I know Dan said that he feels that Leicester will, you know, be obliged to come forward. I don't know. I think they'll show Liverpool a lot of respect. And for all that Liverpool have been winning a lot of them away games, they've nicked a lot of the away games. Five of the eight have been by one goal, and it was last minute against Villa, really late on against Crystal Palace, the Henderson mistake against Sheffield United. I mean, you can't. I'm not saying it's luck, but they're not had much bad luck. You know. So I'll go for the draw.
Okay, so you think there'll be a share of the spoils at their King Power then? And then finally, if all these games on Boxing Day weren't enough, then there's another one on Friday as well, which has the potential to be another good game as well. I think Wolves entertaining Manchester City. Now Wolves 15-2 at home. A draw is 7-2, and City 4-11 looks a little bit short to me, Dan. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the prices are wrong here. I think the draw would be the way that I would look to play this one. You look at Wolves' matches since they come up against to the Premier League. They played Manchester City three times, had a win, a draw, and a defeat. You know, they've got, as we know with Wolves, they do play well against the top teams, and they're excellent. They were at the Etihad when they won 2-0. You've got that Adama Traore pace threat, which is ideal against teams that come onto you. I mean, City are offensively still the best team in the Premier League, but this is there's not that many tougher away games, I think, than Wolves away. They were poor, funny enough, first half, weren't they, at Norwich? Come back into the game second half, maybe took Norwich too lightly and still got the job done, won the game. I just think this is they're going to play better, I think, here. They'll be bang up for the game. And City, there's that vulnerability with them at the back still. They're one clean sheet they've had in the last 13 games. That's a worry for City.
OK, so you fancy that Wolves...
I'll go for the draw.
The draw there. Mark, would you agree?
I think it's a difficult game for City. But I was going to go for Man City to win and both teams to score. I just think, as far as Wolves are concerned, I think the loss of Boly at the back has been a problem for them. And they've not defended quite as well, I don't think. Even though they're right up there in terms of the Premier League table, it would concern me, given all, you know, Aguero's back now, isn't he, as well, and City have got good options, as Dan's already mentioned, in the final third. They've scored 14 goals in the last four away matches, and that includes Arsenal and not what they were, but it was still to go to Arsenal and just destroy them the way they did.
And they should be boosted by Aguero now as well.
Yeah, I think Aguero coming. I mean, Jesus has done all of his best work away from home. This is his time of the year as well, isn't it? But Aguero's just a better player, and you've got Raheem Sterling. He's been a little bit quiet than usual, but Mahrez comes in, and I thought he was one of, if not the best player against.
He's a very good last
club.
Few weeks.
Yeah,
hasn't
so
he?
I mean, I'm just not sure that Wolves will hold them out. They have scored, though, Wolves, in 30 of their 32 matches in all competitions this season. Over 2.5 has landed in 16 of Man City's 18. So I think it is going to be a high-scoring game. And when it gets like that, I'd always rather be with City.
OK, so that's the 10 Boxing Day and the 27th games gone through. So now we'll go ask the boys what they're Best bet is.
This will not be beaten.
Well, Dan, we'll start with you then. What's your nap?
My nap, I'm going to go to the Championship, Fulham away to Luton. They needed a result for them, didn't they? They'd gone for three defeats at the start of December, then had that massive game against Leeds. Probably didn't play that, as well as the score suggested, but just to get the win against at home to Leeds 2-1, I think they're going to take a lot of confidence from that. Mitrovic scored from the spot. He's got 17 goals now this season, nearly half of the Fulham's total. And I just think that the attacking threat that they've got is going to be too much for Luton, who are 1 point outside the relegation zone, got the worst defence in the Sky Bet Championship. Just think they're on a terrible run at the moment. Confidence is low. Lost nine.
They're going to be on the floor, aren't they, after that late goal from Swansea?
Yeah, late goal from Swansea. That was their ninth defeat in their last 11 matches. They're having a really, finding it tough. Won a lot of promotions in the last few seasons, but I think the Championship is proving a little bit bridge too far for them. So Fulham, a shade of odds on.
Fulham for Dan. Mark?
I'm going to go for the League Two leader, Swindon. They're at home to Cambridge. If you look at Swindon's front two, Yates and Doyle, they scored more goals between them than what Cambridge have managed in their entire campaign. They weren't able to hold on last week against Forest Green Rovers. They were 2-0 up, let that one slip. But generally, I think that was to make it sort of 8 wins in a row. But then generally speaking, they've been the best team in the division so far. And I thought a shade of odds on was fair enough.
OK, that's Swindon Town for Mark. I'm going to follow Dan in on his under 2.5 goals between Crystal Palace and West Ham for what it's worth. So you can get that treble on with Paddy Power. And we'll see you again. We'll be recording again on Friday for the weekend's football. Please, if you enjoyed the show, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you listen to us. And we're now on Spotify as well. So please join us then for our preview of the weekend fixtures. And above all, we're with everybody here at the Racing Post. Wish you all a very happy Christmas. So thanks very much, boys. Thanks for your company. And we'll see you again on Friday.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.